Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On Sunday, December 4th, Burl Ives again tells the exciting new story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the General Electric Fantasy Hour. The date, Sunday, December 4th. Join Rudolph in a trip to the Island of Misfit Toys. Meet Yukon Cornelius, the funniest prospector of the North.
Gad, Zeus, the bumble snow monster of the North strikes again.
Meet Santa's elves and hear seven original Christmas songs. Burl sings,
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
It's a holly jolly Christmas special for the entire family. Don't miss Rudolph, Sunday, December 4th, in color on most of these stations.
Merry Christmas. Hello, I'm Danny Pellegrino, and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast with me, Danny.
And Jenna.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jenna.
Hello. Hey, Danny.
Merry holidays. Today's going to be a little bit different episode. Mm-hmm. It might be a little shorter than normal. We wanted to do like almost like a little mini bonus. We'll see how long we talk.
Halls.
But we thought we've been covering these long movies, these long feature films, but there's so much stuff in the holiday canon that we've wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we thought would be fun was to do one of these specials, which this Rankin-Bass special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, infamously the scariest thing in my whole lifetime. Like, honestly, I'm terrified of this movie. But it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it's like not even an hour-long special. Mm-hmm. I just want to give a little brief rundown of it. It's a fictional character. The character was created by Robert Louis May. Rudolph is usually depicted as the ninth and youngest of the Santa Claus's reindeer. Can you name all the reindeer?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen?
Yes, you got it. Yeah. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. I don't know how I know that. I don't know how I know that, but like there's other things that I need to, like, state capitals and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Montpelier, what?
Okay, so let me get back to this description. So Rudolph is usually depicted as the ninth and youngest of the reindeer, using his luminous red nose to lead the reindeer team and guide Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. Though initially he receives ridicule for his nose as a fawn, the brightness of his nose is so powerful that it illuminates the team's path through the harsh winter weather. Ronald Blankford Jr. described Rudolph's story as the fantasy story made to order for American children. Each child has the need to express and receive approval from his or her individual and or special for his or her individual and special qualities. Rudolph's story embodies the American dream for the child, written large because of the cultural significance of Christmas. Rudolph first appeared in the 1939 booklet written by Robert L. May for a department store. The story is owned by the Rudolph Company LP and has been adapted and shaped in numerous forms, including a popular song by Johnny Marks, the iconic 1964 stop-motion animated special, which is what we're covering, and its two sequels, which are Rankin-Bass Productions. There was also a 1998 traditional animated feature, a 2001 CGI sequel that I don't remember, and all sorts of stuff. It's been on a postage stamp, the whole nine, but we're going to be talking about this 1964 Christmas stop-motion animated special, which originally was distributed by NBC Universal. Mm-hmm. It first aired on Sunday, December 6, 1964.
Mm-hmm. Under something called the General Electric Fantasy Hour.
What a time.
I want to watch a General Electric Fantasy Hour. That sounds like a key party.
I know. I know. Like, right? It's like, I mean, 64, not... it's like weird to think this thing that yeah. we still sort of watch. I don't know how much the youth are really into this one. Like, my nieces and nephews love Frosty.
Okay.
They got like obsessed at a certain mm-hmm. age. I feel like they were all obsessed with Frosty. Mm-hmm. But that's traditional animation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's easier to digest than this animation because now even stop motion now is so much smoother. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if kids like this special. Yeah. I mean, even as a kid for me, I'm terrified. And I got the flop sweats rewatching it because I don't like this.
Yeah, I did as a kid. But I think
you liked
like,
it?
I did. Oh, interesting. And like I have it on DVD, but rewatching it now.
You have it on DVD.
I have it on DVD.
When did you get the DVD of it?
Probably 20 years ago.
Like when you were a kid?
No, when I was like, I think like able to drive and it already had sex. I bought it. A little bit about me.
You fucked and then you're like, let's watch Rudolph.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I was already like a grown woman and I was like, I need this on DVD. Because I think I had a different memory of it. Like I liked the Abominable Snowman. Oh. As a kid, mm-hmm. but rewatching it now, I'm like, this is messed up. I really it's don't so like it. Up. Like, I would never show this to a child.
No, it scares me.
It's really scary.
I remember I hated the joltiness of it, uh-huh. and I didn't even remember rewatching it. It actually opens with like these newspaper clippings that are real. They're not animated, so they're just like real news, scary. And it's just all of it. All of it terrified. Like, every little bit, I get the heebie-jeebies just talking about yeah. it. Like, it makes me uncomfortable.
It's like the depression. Like, oh, so there's that snowman narrator, and he's like, hello, there's a blizzard coming. And you're like, okay, what?
And they recreated a lot of that for the movie Elf, which we haven't covered on this show, but obviously the narration in the movie Elf was all based on this.
I think they got sued, didn't they? Oh, by Rankin and Bass, yeah. There was a whole thing.
They deserve it, because they really just they lifted it. All
yeah.
of it.
Totally.
But even, I remember going to the theater to see Elf, mm-hmm. and even at the time getting the flop sweat, seeing that Rankin and Bass, because it scares me like, more than anything. We talked the last episode or one of the episodes, we talked about meth gators.
Uh-huh.
I would rather be face to face with a meth gator than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Claymation. What's his name?
The reindeer with
Yukon Cornelius.
Oh,
that guy
shivers. This should have been a Halloween episode.
This should have been. Yeah, no, we could have like a horror movie. Also, I didn't realize that Donner was Rudolph's dad.
No, I think that was just for this.
Just for this, yeah. Which I was like, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I didn't remember that from when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. I was like, wait, Donner and Blitzen and Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. Like, those are all separate reindeer.
Daddy issues.
And now all of a sudden we're learning that Rudolph's dad is Donner.
Yeah.
And I don't believe
that. And he is such a dick. Like, Donner's so mean.
Such a fucking dick.
He's such a dick. I'm like, he was like,
so was
I just
Santa,
don't
by
like
the
it.
Way. I thought Santa was an asshole because
Santa was
right
an asshole.
When Rudolph's born, mm-hmm. all of a sudden Santa saunters on in there and is like, oh, come on, get to work.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck you, dude. Like, mm-hmm. First of all, they just had a kid. The parents are tired. Rudolph's barely fucking born. Mm-hmm. And you're like, put him to work.
Yeah. Like, and he knows English. Rudolph was born knowing English. Like, he never heard the word mama or papa. And he's like, mama. That. And I'm like, excuse me, no. And then he also, same with Santa. He like, I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
Now as an adult watching it, I'm like, I don't believe it that a day old reindeer knows English.
Reindeer. I mean, I just thought immediately he's born and Santa comes in and it's like, let's get to work. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Oh yeah. And then he goes to that song. He's like, I'm king of jing-a-ling.
The and music I was like, and it's haunting.
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 Like the king of jing.
Oh, I can't. I'm getting the shivers. I get the shivers.
But yeah. Oh, and also Santa was a dick when I think
Santa was a dick when.
Yes, a dick when.
That should be the
well,
name
the head
of this
elf
episode.
Was a dick. Everyone's a dick in this.
Everyone's such an asshole.
And
it was a different time.
It was a different time. And so Santa is like sitting on a throne for no reason within this hall. And the head elf is like, come on, you guys, we have to sing to Santa. And he's can you hurry up? I have to get down to the workshop. Exactly. I was like, what is going on?
It's awful. And he's so mean to the elves, too.
So mean.
Like, they're doing all the fucking work. I'm mm-hmm. swearing a lot this episode. I'm sorry. I hope no one's listening with kids.
And okay, so we need to talk about Donner. He's toxic masculinity incarnate. Totally. Remember? Because, like, I think his wife, they just call her Mrs. Donner. I'm like, okay. She wants to go find Rudolph. And he's like, no, a woman's place is here. And then, like, get back in your cave. He says that to the girl. He's like, get back in your cave.
Like, you get in the fucking cave, Donner.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to slap Donner.
And then Donner's making him cover it up. I mean, that gave me the nose. So the nose, which I hate that nose because the noise in the nose scares the bejesus out of me. But yeah, he's making Rudolph immediately cover the nose
mud
with some
face.
Dirt. Yeah, yeah. That covers it with dirt. And it's like, come on, Rudolph, let him have the fucking red nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so rude.
I know. And like the snowman, when he first introduces the abominable snowman, he's like, he describes him as, he says he's mean and nasty and hates Christmas. I'm like, no, that's everyone else in this movie.
Yeah.
Leave the snowman alone.
Right.
I don't know.
And can we talk about the big gay elf?
Yes.
Because, okay, what was his name? Hermie. Hermie's the big gay.
Yes.
I don't know that, like, he's, I'm confirming that here, and maybe that's, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, presumptuous of me, but I believe in my heart, sometimes you just know a character's coded, that character's a big old gay.
Yeah, and when we meet him, he's like, I don't want to be here, I hate my job, I hate making toys, I want to be a dentist.
He wants to be a dentist. Wants to be a big gay dentist.
A big gay dentist.
Fix people's teeth.
And he has his dentistry textbook just under the workshop table. He pulls it out, and like, they're really pushing, I wonder if like,
I feel like
big dentistry like financed to this partly.
Oh, maybe like it was like General Motors, but it was also subsidized by a dentistry association.
Yeah, because they were like pushing dentistry. Because then he starts looking in people's mouths, and I'm like, sir.
Yeah, they were pushing dentistry. Yeah. I'm just noticing that now. It and was a very aggressive dentistry subplot.
And that's such a 1964 career thing to like shove kids into dentistry.
Right.
Where now it's like, you never hear about that.
No.
No one's like.
I feel like Hermie now, his real goal would be to like be a fashion designer or like something. A hairdresser, makeup artist or something. That's Hermie now.
And he cares about appearances because he says, even he's like, I want to be a dentist because we need one up here. I was like, he's not wrong.
He's big gay, yeah. He looked different than all the other ones, too. He had the different eyes.
And the swoop hair, the swoop bangs.
The swoop hair, yeah. Yeah, he's gay.
Yeah,
I just feel it. He's a little twink bottom. I feel it.
Yeah.
I know it.
Oh, and can we talk about the reindeer games?
Yeah. There was a Ben Affleck movie called Reindeer Games. Did you ever see it?
And it was scary, wasn't it?
Charlie's Angels. I never watched. I think I might have like rented it way back in 98 or something.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah.
But I think this...
Ben Affleck. Okay.
Yeah, let's
not. This isn't about Ben Affleck, but let's talk about his holiday movie canon. Because not only did he do Reindeer Games, but he also did Surviving Christmas with James Gandolfini and Catherine O'Hara, which is unhinged, and we need to cover that at some point.
Okay, yeah.
At some point, maybe in 5 years from now, or some, whenever we get to it, because we have a lot to get to.
Yeah.
But Surviving Christmas is wild.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to say
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, I do too. And I feel like he was in another Christmas. Wasn't he in some... I feel like he was in a third Christmas movie or something. Ben Affleck
was that one?
I feel like that was a Thanksgiving movie, because there was something about a gobble in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. The J-Lo one? That's where
it's
met,
terrible.
Right?
But it's terrible? Kind of like a fun terrible. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I swear Ben Affleck's in another holiday film, but I can't think of it. Anyway, people are going to probably shout it at the podcast.
Yeah, they're going to shout it. Exactly.
They're shouting.
We're driving around right now screaming it. So all the Fawns are bullying Rudolph. Like, they all show up. None of the girls can participate, which is so problematic. But they're like, all the boy reindeer have to go show off for Santa so he can see who's going to be strong enough to fly the sleigh. I'm like, dude, you were literally born yesterday, but yeah, please go.
Right, go
run around in front of Santa.
The whole fucking sleigh.
It's just, so Rudolph and his girlfriend are hanging out, and then Donner comes back. And
this might
like,
be controversial, but I do actually believe that Rudolph's straight.
Yeah.
Because I know the whole thing is like a metaphor for being gay. I mean, that's how I took it. Maybe it's not, but I took it. I take everything like that.
Oh, like, okay.
But I do believe that Rudolph's straight. I just need to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Herbie or Hermie, big gay.
I guess there was. Oh, I found this actually that after this aired, thousands of angry letters came in from like the ableist community because they add the ending. You know how they go back and Santa finds all the misfit toys, new homes. The original didn't have that. They just were left on the island. And so people were like, this is ableist. This is saying that like they will never be loved by anyone. And so they reshot.
When did they reshot it?
I think the next year. And then the year after it aired with an additional 2 minutes that we know
now. Oh my God.
Isn't that traumatizing?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Could you imagine airing something and they're like, oh no, all the misfits
is like a
stay
whole
on the island.
In claymation or whatever. This is like 2 minutes
lifetime.
Is like a year of work. Like they probably took him the whole year to add that final thing. Like 2 years.
It's so funny. What I didn't like too is that all the reindeer were so mean to Rudolph, you know, and they never apologize.
No.
Like there was never like this didn't teach kids like vindication or revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
the whole idea of it is like to, you know, be yourself and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think like the way that it was presented is just so harsh.
Yes.
That it's hard to even get a lesson out of it, mm-hmm. because it's like all the characters are so hard
and mean.
And we've talked about it. It's like, I think it's good to have mean characters. Nowadays, almost, I feel like it's the opposite, where every character is just so perfect, and mm-hmm. it feels like, okay, we're sanitizing everything too much.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like this is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Because I really, I mean, as we're both pretty liberal and all that kind of stuff, but I still think that sometimes scripted stuff goes too far in one way, because it's like every character can't. I was just talking about the new Gossip Girl, reboot. And it's like, every character, it's almost like they're afraid to let the characters be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I understand that we want to present better things to people, but also characters in real life act bad,
mm-hmm.
or are mean, or are whatever.
And that was so good about the original Gossip Girl, like Leighton Meester and, you know, Chuck Bass, that character, like they were diabolical psychopaths.
Like they let him be fucking psychopaths.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with the Gossip Girl reboot, is like they don't let him be as mean as I want, or as, not even mean, just like as problematic.
Yeah,
or
like bitchy,
awful,
or like,
mean, or all those things.
Yeah.
Three-dimensional, that's probably the right term. That's the term.
Oh, that makes sense.
But in Rudolph, did I just compare Rudolph to the Gossip Girl reboot?
It checks out, I'm in. Yes.
But in Rudolph, it's the opposite, where it's like every single character is hard and I need some of the characters to be nicer.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because even like Yukon Cornelius, this man who just comes literally out of nowhere, who's supposed to be some sort of, I don't know, Zodiac hiker person. Like, what are you doing?
I know. Like, what is his role
and
in the world?
That ice raft. Remember, like, I think he uses his ice pick because, the Abominable Snowman is chasing them. And there's this moment where he's like, oh, the fog is thicker than peanut butter. And then Hermie says, don't you mean thicker than pea soup? And Yukon Cornelius screams at him. He's like, you can eat what you like and I'll eat what I like. I'm like, okay, first of all, chill. Also, would you ever compare fog to peanut butter or pea soup?
Never.
Like, who wrote
Never.
This?
Never.
Like, maybe the steam from a locomotive?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to know, like, well, aside from the outrage over the ending, like, what was the general response? I mean, I guess it became a classic, so the response must have been good.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems so odd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was everyone just watching this, the first airing, and being like, this is a Christmas classic?
This is amazing. Did you get chills when they get to the Island of Misfit Toys and then all the broken toys start rolling out? It reminded me of Sid's room in Toy Story. Remember the bad kid?
Which was also very scary to me as a kid too. Yeah.
So scary.
Yeah.
That moment was really, and I got vibes of that from this. I was like, there's like, you know, that locomotive with square wheels and he's like, and then Charles in the Box.
And wasn't there a different spin-off or another movie called Island of Misfit Toys?
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because I vaguely remember that. I couldn't watch any of these, like, as a kid. And I know I've told this story on the podcast before, but my college freshman roommate, he had all these on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not really go leave the room or whatever. But I remember in, like, early September, August, when I had just moved into the dorm, he was watching these movies. And it felt like a horror movie to me because I'm so scared of the claymation.
What jail is he in now?
But I was, like, so terrified because I was like, oh, my God, like, this – not only is it not Christmas, which I support watching a Christmas movie whenever you want, but the claymation freshman year of college in the dorm, like on a Friday night, it was just, I got back from going out and I was like, oh my God, like Rudolph's on with that fucking nose going like, oh, I hate that noise.
So that was bone chilling.
Yeah. He also, everything he owned was orange too, which what? I think maybe I've told you before, but it's like, yeah, everything
like he owned was accessories orange. Accessories and like his like the furniture? Bedding,
the clothes, the hangers.
Would he eat Cheetos and watch?
Everything was orange.
Orange. That is so everything was interesting. Orange.
I mean, it's
where is he now? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as he speaks.
Good point. There was a moment. Oh, the water pistol that shoots jelly. He discharges himself. It squirts Hermie in the face.
Oh yeah, yeah, with yeah.
Grape jelly. I was like, okay, that was unnecessary.
It made me want a peanut butter and jelly. Like oh, a yeah. weird. I was hungry when I watched this, and I was like, I want a peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Some of the technology is interesting because we talked about how long it would take to do some of these shots. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the artistry is kind of impressive, but like it's scary to me. Like I don't, maybe even like the fur or the reindeer, like the material they used for the reindeer, like it freaks me out. Like I don't know. All of it was rough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of it. And I don't even think I watched this on YouTube. Did you watch it on YouTube?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So I feel like they don't. Do they even air this regularly? Like I know every NBC airs It's a Wonderful Life.
I feel like they
and TNT do. Airs Four Christmases. Yeah. But like, who is anyone TNT airing does. Rudolph yearly, or did we just like stop it?
That's a good question. I feel like it is because I read some of the the YouTube comments are hilarious. Which I'll bring
those up. You got to bring those.
I was power texting those to you because they're hilarious. So as of 8 or 10 months ago, people were actively watching this
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, but do they? But not on a network.
Maybe not on a network
because I don't remember even the Charlie Brown stuff moved to Apple. Like Apple bought all the Charlie Brown stuff, so it. I think that's not even airing on like a major network.
Okay,
I think like. They have exclusivity, I think, for Apple.
Oh, interesting. Dr. Pepper, the corporate account, commented. This is my favorite on the YouTube.
Of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. They said, how the fuck Santa know if you were good or bad all year? And he didn't even know that Rudolph was getting bullied. I'm like, Dr. Pepper's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Dr. Corporate. Pepper's right. Why didn't, how do they know all that stuff, but didn't know he's getting bullied?
Yeah. Also, why is there a lion sitting on a throne at the Island of Misfit Toys? Lions don't belong in the snow.
Yeah. And like, was that the inspiration to The Lion King?
Oh, that's true.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
We solved a mystery.
Okay.
Were there any other YouTube reviews that you can share?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I love YouTube funny. Comments.
Oh, me too. Okay, so Rebecca said, Rudolph decides to sneak away on his own so that he won't endanger his friends. Oh, that's during the blizzard when Yukon Cornelius and Hermie are like, we can't go anywhere. And then also Rudolph leaves the door open, thus exposing his friends to the frigid air and sub-zero temperatures. So many of the comments were so mad that he left the door open. I'm like, okay. It's still weird detail to get mad about.
Yeah, yeah. And they're also used to the cold. Like, they live there, right?
So they would be... Cornelius gets off on the cold.
Yeah, he like fucking loves
power.
It. He loves it. Cold and power.
I hate that guy. I don't know where he was going, and I don't know where he is now.
Who do you hate him? Cornelius? Okay, wait. Let's both rate.
The villainous.
The people in this... The characters in this. Like, who's your most hated?
The most Cornelius? Hated? I almost think maybe the other reindeer or Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
Santa is it for me.
Head Elf was really mean to Hermie.
Yeah, he was an asshole.
He was such an asshole to Hermie when he's like, I want to be a dentist. He's like, no, no. It's like, dude. Oh, also Hermie, after he becomes a dentist, he rips out the Abominable Snowman's teeth right at the end. I was like, wait, I'm sorry.
That was wild.
Someone put that on as a comment. They're like, no Novocaine, nothing. He just starts ripping
not a great dentist.
Not a great dentist. There was one that I thought you would connect with. Someone said a comment saying, hear the roar from the Abominable Snowman gave me memory frights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard the phrase memory frights.
I'm going to start using that now because I get the memory frights from this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I literally, when I put it on Jen, I'm not kidding. I was like, I don't know if I could do this. I was like, I'm going to have to text Jen and say, never mind, because I get so, it gives me, I can't even explain it. It's scariest thing to me ever. I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it. And I will never watch it again because I'm terrified of it.
I didn't watch it in 4 sittings because I would watch 8 minutes and I was like, I'm done.
Too much.
I have to go outside. I have to take a shower. I don't know, do something.
That's like me watching Blue Valentine, like in 8 minutes.
Oh, it's that's such a brutal movie.
That other movie, drug movie with Jared Leto. It was from the late 90s or early 2000s. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
anyway,
I remember bawling on the subway after watching Blue Valentine at the theater. I'm like, it was so depressed. That's another one. I don't think I can.
It's too much.
Oh, yeah, you broke up with Matt after.
We broke up after. Yeah. But I don't, that, if I were to watch this with Matt Rudolph, we would have broken up.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, I literally, it took me a minute. I watched it 2 days ago and it took me a whole day to shake it off. I just don't like it. I don't like the colors. I don't like the animation. I don't like how jolty it is. And again, I understand it's claymation, that kind of thing is hard to do, but it still felt like they weren't getting enough frames per second. You know, like they weren't. They should have had an extra frame in there because it's all jolty.
Mm-hmm.
And the noise is the worst part to me.
And the songs are so creepy.
Every song is creepier than the next. I totally agree.
When all the toys were singing in unison, I was like, I turned the volume down. I was like, I don't want to hear this, like down to a 5.
Wait, do we know the voices in here?
Oh, yeah. There's someone who's like, I think kind of famous.
Oh, Burl Ives is Sam the Snowman.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these. Are all... Larry Mann is Yukon Cornelius. Billy Richards is Rudolph. I don't know any of these people. I mean, they're all, may they rest in peace.
Yeah.
I don't believe they're with us anymore, but good for them.
Yeah. I think, like.
Isn't that weird to be in a movie that is just something that's, like, around forever? And, like, even after you pass, like, people are doing a podcast about it?
Yes. I did look up to see if everyone was dead. Because you know what they are. I was like, if any of these people are still alive.
Isn't that so weird? Or so to weird. Be like their grandkid or something. And it's like, oh, there's grandpa's movie. Like Burl Ives. I'm sure he's got some grandkids.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And they're probably watching this movie. And it's like, oh, that's grandpa's voice. But grandpa's been dead for 20 years. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah. And what if your grandpa was Donner? This like douchebag.
Ugh.
He's just such a mean person.
Burl Ives was also in The Grinch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Along with my other favorite child actor, Little Person. We have to do a full Grinch series.
Oh, we're
going to
do another Grinch. Burl Ives did The Grinch and Rudolph. Like, that's wild.
Wow. He had a corner on that market. He's their go-to guy.
Like, that's crazy to me that he did both of those classics.
Yeah. There is a weird theme, too, here with how they also had to employed the Abominable Snowman to put the star on top of the tree. And they're like, oh, he can also haul stuff. Kind of reminded me of Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they're like, oh, we're going to just put this thing to work. I'm like, you ripped his teeth out and you said he was mean and hates Christmas. Like, you guys, I don't know. I think the snowman was probably the nicest character in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Remember when we saw that Channing Tatum movie, Smallfoot? Oh, that was...
Smallfoot? Yeah. And he sings
For some reason, I was thinking that was a... Was there an Abominable Snowman?
Was he a Yeti?
Yeah, he's a Yeti.
Yeah.
Which is that the same thing as Abominable? No, that's not, right?
I think it is. Remember, I don't remember a single thing from that movie. And we saw that in a matinee, morning one.
Just that Channing was singing. That's all I remember.
Yeah. I wish it showed like a split screen of him sitting there.
You know, this is aside from the point, but I guess it sort of connects to the podcast. But I was just listening to this other podcast with the Mark Shaman, who's the musical director and producer of the he did a bunch of movies, but he did Hocus Pocus, I Put a Spell on You.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this whole history of the song. He doesn't remember much about the whole thing. Like, he didn't anticipate it being like a big thing. He was getting hired for every movie. He did Sister Act. He did all these Bette Midler albums. And then he was working with Bette, and Bette was like, come do this song. And so he did it. He didn't remember much of it. But he said that Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker were singing, so their voices are in the actual cut of it, but that they're blended with like the people who did the initial track or something like that. They're blended with other background voices. So it's all Bette, and then the other voices are like blended. And I was just thinking, when you said Channing Tatum, I feel like his voice was probably like heavily blended. Technically his voice. Like, they can say it's his voice, but it's like really blended.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't remember. It was a Billboard
kind of
podcast.
Like with Casper. You know? I was like,
yeah, blend or figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, Casper was a separate voice.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it was like Devin Sawa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. This was a podcast. It was a Billboard podcast about that song. It was like 10-minute interview or something. But I found it very fascinating because that song, and we covered Hocus Pocus on our Halloween episode, so I feel like we should bring it up and talk about it. But Halloween has passed. But if you want to listen to it, go listen to it. Okay, so my worst, I think Santa was definitely at the top for me for the worst villain. And then Donner probably... And then that shitty elf. And those are top three for me. Cornelius wasn't in the top three for me.
Because he wasn't in the movie as much. Yeah. You're right. I just hated it that he was always screaming.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you have to chill.
All of the sound effects and the voices and everything. I know we just were talking about all the voices, but they really fucked me up.
Totally. And the music and the voices.
Oh, yeah. Sound and everything. The visuals and sound of this film were just horrifying to me.
Yeah. Also, like, even just the concept of the island of misfit toys. Also, the toys didn't actually look super misfit.
Super
misfit. I was like trying to scrutinize them. I mean, I get, oh, the water gun that squirts jelly. I was like, that's cool. That's a cool toy. I love
imagining you just like pausing YouTube and being like, I got to analyze these toys for the podcast.
Totally. Yeah. I'm like taking notes. It's like, I got to bring my A game. I got
to figure this out.
But like, you're right. As a kid, I would watch this every year and love it. But now that I'm thinking, I'm like, I was probably just hyped up on hot cocoa and cinnamon buns. And,
see, you know? I knew right away. I knew this wasn't for me. And I even as a kid love the Frosty. Maybe we should have covered that. I'm glad that's I got all my thoughts about this out.
Mm-hmm. We'll never have to do it again.
Very troubling to me. I just really hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah. And I love a holiday thing, but this just didn't sit right with me, even as a child and as an adult or as a college student when I walked in my dorm room and my roommate was watching on the upper bunk bed.
As the fall leaves are falling. That is disturbed.
Jenna, this was fun. It ended up being almost like a full-size episode, so we were going to just come on for a couple minutes, but we had so many thoughts about Rudolph fucking around your
head. Right here. And so, and a lot of the feedback, all the reviews I was reading are very divided. Either people are like,
of our podcast or of Rudolph?
Everyone loves our podcast, but about Rudolph, like about the bullying, which I totally agree. But then some people are like, oh, this is a classic. I watch it every year. And I'm like, how?
Well, I have a theory that like holiday stuff, even the bad stuff, we watch it, it becomes part of our traditions. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with stuff being played on TV. So even though people might not necessarily like sit down and love Rudolph, if they were to just see it fresh, I think because it's like been on every year, and I feel that way about Christmas Story. Like I do like A Christmas Story, that movie with the, with the fucking leg lamp.
Yeah.
And that was filmed in Cleveland too, which they do tours of the house. Anyway. I like that movie, but I feel like TNT does that 24-hour marathon of it for 100 years. I remember them. And Christmas morning when we would open gifts, we would just put on the TV. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the day, like in between meals or whatever, we would just turn on the TV and it'd be on like TNT to watch The Christmas Story.
Yeah.
So I feel like that just becomes part of your tradition, even though like, I don't know that everyone that watches A Christmas Story every year would like really love it if they just sat and watched it.
Like focused on it.
Yeah. And Jingle All the Way is like that for me in a weird way. Like I watch Jingle All the Way every year and I don't think it's a bad movie. We covered it last year, but it's like, it just is a weird tradition.
I watched the Christmas Vacation, the Griswold one. I love that. But
that's genuinely good.
That's genuinely good. Yeah. Good. That can be on all day long.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but some of these other ones like Rudolph just plays every year. So we watch it.
Yeah.
Frosty, Elf, Forced. Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are really great stuff.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't consent to it being on a marathon.
Jenna, I love you so much.
We love
everyone for listening. I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Jenna Brister or Jenna.Brister on Insta. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah,
this is so fun.
We love you. We're having so much fun, and we're trying our best to do as many episodes as possible. We don't know exactly how many we're going to do, but we're doing our best.
Yes.
And we'll. If we don't get to some of the movies this year, we're getting to them next year, the year after. We're in this for the long haul, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't imagine
get on the ride or get off. Doing this. No, it's just forever.
It's forever.
So we'll get to some of these other ones and we'll get to Frosty. We'll get to all of them. The whole shebang.
Yes.
But for now, follow us on at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram for all of our updates. We'll put all of the episodes there. And also I want to tell everyone, for listening to this podcast, if you like it, hit subscribe or follow wherever you listen. So you get all of the updates, all of the new episodes. So make sure you click that subscribe or follow button. And if you like the show, please go give us a good review on iTunes. And you can find me on social media, like I just said, in the book I have available for pre-order on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's called How Do I Unremember This? There's Christmas stories in that. So pre-order that. It comes out March 8th of next year. Okay.
Perfect. Stay cozy.
Love you. Merry Christmas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.